Now, Paul says in verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God," little g, "of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Now, I'm going to bring up another point about that being lost here in just a second, but I want us to look at this group of folks here. He says, the God of this world, who's that? You can say it out loud, it's all right. Who's the God of this world? Satan is. And he's blinded the minds of who? Those which believe not. Right? That's the group that we're talking about. And that same group is described as being lost. Paul didn't put them into a box of whether they were elect, unregenerate, or wicked. And I'm not going to either.
Right.
I'll tell you that those folks that he's talking about are lost.
Amen.
And the gospel ain't going to reach them.
That's right.
Until something happened. Listen to what happened. Paul says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Those folks that have been enlightened by God are able to see, hear, understand, and love the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know it takes the power of God in creation to cause the light to shine. And that's exactly the same kind of way that he causes you to be able to see the light, because he sheds the light in your heart. That's how it happens.
Yes.
Without that light being shown in your heart, you are not going to care about the gospel. You're not going to love it. You're not going to hear it. You're not going to see it. Even if it lights other people, you're not going to see it. Now, that's all I want to say about that. He says, but Paul says, "But we have this treasure," talking about God shining in our hearts, "and knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us."
Right.
On every account that I see, when Paul is, or any other of the writers, talk about anyone being born again, or talking about light shining or any of that, he always says that that power is of God. And his power is more excellent than any kind of power that we have.
Amen.
And that any power that we have is not near as excellent as his, or powerful as his.
That's right.
And Paul says, we have this treasure. I tell you what, if you don't know that God's powerful, if you don't know that God is able to subdue a wicked man and make him a godly man without his wanting it, if you don't believe that, you don't believe the excellency of the powers of God.
Amen.
You just don't believe it.
Amen.
You believe that God's got some power and man's power is just as power as God's power. And that's not true.
Amen.
Now, he says, I never said let there be light and there was light unless I turned on the flashlight. Right? I mean, I got the ability to click a thing, but I can't make the sun.
Amen.
God spoke that thing into existence. And he spoke you into existence as a new creature, just in the same manner. Now, he says, and that's a treasure, folks. If you understand that the excellency of the power is of God and not of you, that's a treasure.
Yes.
That'll help you when times get tough, won't it?
Amen.
And he's going to talk about that next, isn't he? Now, he says, we are troubled on every side, The excellency of the power is of God will help you in times of trouble.
That's right.
He says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Do y'all understand what Paul's doing here? These words that he uses, troubled. And there's a lot of trouble in the world, isn't there? We heard of a bunch of them up here when Brother Joe was talking about all the folks that need prayer. A lot of trouble in this world. A lot of people sick. A lot of people afraid of getting sick. A lot of people afraid for other people to get sick. There's a lot of trouble in that. And they're pressed. And this word has a connotation of grapes being pressed a little bit. But the second word is a deeper compression. It's a compression that makes them crushed. Mm-hmm. Not just a little broken. Paul says that we're troubled, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. That means that we don't know what to do sometimes. But Paul says there's a lot of times that we are perplexed. But our perplexion doesn't make us in total desperation.
Amen.
And that when we have that excellency of the knowledge that the powers of God, it keeps you from being crushed totally and not knowing what to do totally and just sitting there just kind of looking up in the sky, just standing around like that. It'll keep you from doing that. Because there's some foundational principles about God that you know that other people don't. When you understand that the excellency is the power of the powers of God and not you, you know that God is still on His throne. You know that He's the Creator God and that He had the power to speak this world into existence, and that's a powerful voice. And I've heard it on the inside.
Amen.
If you haven't, you have not that knowledge. And you are going to be crushed and in despair. That's why the whole world lies in despair. That's why. Because they don't have the excellency of that knowledge. And I'll go so far as to say this. There's some God, some born-again people that have not this knowledge. They have not this knowledge of the excellency of the power of God. How many folks that you love and that love God right now are that you know are in perplexed, are perplexed and in despair, really? It's because they don't believe in the power and sovereignty of God.
That's right.
I tell you what, believing that God's got this. I mean, I hear a lot of people say that.
That's right.
But I don't really believe they understand that God's really got this.
Amen.
Now, Paul keeps going. I mean, he uses these terms. He says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. I love that, don't you?
Sure.
We're persecuted. Paul says, yeah, we've got some light affliction, Paul says. And Paul the apostle that was beaten called what happened to him a light affliction. Yeah. How light is our affliction?
Oh.
It's so light that we really ought not to even say that we're persecuted.
Amen.
But Paul says, even though we have light affliction, and even though we're persecuted, we're not forsaken. Why? Because Paul understands that the excellency of the love of Jesus Christ, when he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Yes, sir.
Now, I tell you, that's true. God said it. I believe it.
Amen.
Whether I believe it or not, God said it, and it is so.
Amen.
Now, and Paul's going to say this later. Hey, I believe it, and I'm speaking it. We ought to believe it, but what we believe, we ought to speak.
Right.
And we ought to be speaking about the excellency of the power and the knowledge of God, that the power is His. The power is His.
Yes.
And not ours. Not ours. Now, he says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Y'all know what they did to Paul one time when he was preaching the gospel. They got so mad at him For he was talking about the resurrection, and he was talking about Jesus being the Christ. And all of them said, "You are tearing down our playhouse, and we don't like it. And we're just going to stone you, boy." And so they took up stones. And I want y'all to understand that these stones that they stoned them with were not like these little gravel rocks in the driveway. They were big enough that you had to pick them up with both hands and cast them upon the man. Now, they didn't throw them from way back here, way back. They had to be close to the man to stone him. Stones that would kill a man, and they left him for dead because they thought he was dead. And Paul says, I've been cast down, Paul's saying. I've been persecuted, but it's a light persecution. Oh my gosh. That ought to give us some strength.
Amen.
And some encouragement today that we're really not persecuted.
Right.
Oh, it's coming. You know it's going to come. But it's not. What I've experienced in my life has been so light, Paul would have, it would have been like a fly to him compared to a stone.
Yes, sir.
Now, Paul says that persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. How many times do you get cast down? And I tell you, I love the Rocky movies. I do. I like that kind of underdog, you know, and I just, the whole thing, I love it. But you know, and I say this a lot, and I'm going to say it today.
Go ahead.
Rocky said, was talking to his son, and he said, "Son," he said, "Dad, why do you do this?" This is one of the later movies. He said, "Dad, why do you fight?" He says, "Why? What do you have to prove? And you just got to prove you got to be tough or something." Hey, Rocky told him, said, "Son, let me tell you something." He said, "Toughness is not about how hard you hit. It's about how many times you get back up after being hit."
That's right.
And I tell you today, we need some spiritually tough people.
Amen.
In this world.
Amen.
We need to quit being snowflakes and think about things that are so hard and saying, "Oh, woe is me. It's never going to be good again," and all this, and suck it up and start going on in the kingdom.
Amen.
And that's raw, and I'm sorry for you folks there in the internet world, but that's real. That's just real.
Yeah.
We need to quit whining about so many things and start taking up our cross and following Jesus Christ and proclaiming the excellency of the powers of God.
Amen.
That's what we need to do.
Yes, sir.
And we need to and remember that, oh, I'm going to get cast down, but God's not going to leave me.
Amen.
I'm not going to be destroyed. I'll be persecuted for the things that I say, but God's with me. And I'd a whole lot rather God be with me than the world be with me.
That's right.
Amen.
Because you know what? This world's going to end.
Yes.
But God ain't.
Amen.
Now, Paul keeps going. He says, "For always," and now this is how you do this. This is a mindset that we ought to have when we're doing this. He says, "Always bearing," and you can't do it without this. Okay,
right.
The excellency of the power of God is not of us, but of Him. Now that'll get you going. Okay, this will keep you going right here. Mm-hmm. Always bearing about in the body. That means right now, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What's Paul saying? He's saying the fuel that will keep you going daily is for you to remember that Jesus died on the cross for you because you couldn't do it.
Amen.
Oh, you could have died on the cross like them thieves and stuff, but what you could accomplish there would only be death.
That's right.
Isn't that strange how Jesus accomplished life through death?
Amen.
Isn't that strange? Mm-hmm. But He's a paradoxical God, isn't He?
Right.
He says that the only way for you to serve and be any amount to anything, and to be exalted in the kingdom is for you to abase yourself and be a servant. That's a strange thing, isn't it? Because the world don't see it that way. But God does. I tell you what, if you want to really study something, you study about the difference between God's kingdom and the world kingdoms and how they operate. I think I might have preached that one here several years ago. But it's more than just one sermon full. It's a year, it's a lifetime full of things that you'll find how God's kingdom is totally opposed and operates on a totally different basis than the worldly kingdoms.
Amen.
Now, and Paul is saying, if you want to live, you bear about in your body. That means always think about it right now, about the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, that He died for you. And number two, what His death accomplished.
Amen.
For you. And that kind of mercy, it always goes back to that, don't it? Mercy. And grace is the only real motivator of service.
That's right.
Now you can serve out of fear, but you're not going to like your master.
Yeah.
But the ones that you serve out of love, you do it, and you love them for their care for you, right? Now. He says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." Now he said, it's written that we are that brother did that, and he said, but we do it too. How many times have you believed something and you haven't spoken? Now I tell you, this didn't originate with me, but I'll tell you this: I think there are basically four or five levels of a child of God, according to His Word, understanding His Word. Number one, and I can use this analogy right here. Let's think that it's five fingers, okay? Hearing the Word is number one. I can't really pick up this Bible with one finger, can I? It takes at least two, don't it? Hearing the Word, understanding the Word, that's the second finger, reading the Word, meditating about the Word, and defending the Word. If you're able to do that, you got a good grip on this Bible.
Amen.
If you say those five things, or fingers, you got a good grip on the Word of God if you're able to do that. Now, well, I lost my place.
2 Corinthians 4.
Oh, thank you.
Verse 12.
There we go. Now, knowing that He, here says, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or be bounced back to or rebound to the glory of God. You know, really, that's what we're all here for.
Amen.
His creation is for His glory. Jesus is for His glory. We're created for His glory. I mean, Adam was for His glory. Now, how often, I just had this thought. How often, I mean on a daily basis, when I wake up tomorrow, it's easy today for me because it's Sunday, you know, and then this second time I've tried to stand and preach the gospel. It's pretty easy for me to glorify God on Sunday. But how often do I glorify God with my life on Monday? Paul says that we ought, that all things ought to be do that. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving. First of all, thanksgiving is a big part of it. Thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So we ought to really be giving thanks, not only for the excellency of the power of God, but also for the Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. Not only that, but His life being manifest in our body. We ought to appreciate and be thankful for what's for God's mercy and grace that He's given to us. For which cause, Paul says, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Outward man's perishing. You know, Sonny and I drove, we came a different way than we normally come this way. We used to live off of Highway 12, and I went to school in Caledonia for a year, and we went down the same road that the bus went down to go to the school, and then we went the back way that we always used to come to go up here to Mount Hebron, to church. And you know, I hadn't been that way in so long. The scenery's changed. I mean, they've added new roads, and some of the houses that I could see, they're just overgrown. And I told Sonia on the way, I don't recognize this. I don't. The outward man perishes.
It does.
The creation, it will get overrun unless you take care of it.
Amen.
We've got some brethren and sisters in here that have lived a long time. And they, the body doesn't work like it used to. Mine don't work like it used to. And I'll be 53 in a month. Mine don't work like it used to. I wish it did. But you know, the thing about the inward man, it don't really change, does it?
Right.
It's renewed day by day. It's just like, it's just as new tomorrow as it was today.
Amen.
And it's going to be just as new and vital when I breathe my last breath as it was the day that God caused that breath and light to be in me.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the natural man is perishing. And I had this thought too. You talk about the laws of gravity of this earth. They are constantly waiting and bringing us down, aren't they?
Yeah.
I tell you, when kids, they're born and they have to go, when they start to walk and crawl, they have to push up against gravity. They have, I mean, it's tough for a baby to learn how to walk, isn't it? And then they fall down because gravity gets them. And when they fall down, they hurt and they get broke bones and they get bruises because gravity is here. And I tell you what, you see I'm sorry, but most of the time, sometimes it happens to old men, but old women, and they really get hunchback because gravity happens.
Yeah.
And gravity makes us fall easier when we're old, doesn't it? And I tell you what, one of these days, gravity will get us all, and it'll pull us back and suck us back into the earth. But I'll tell you what, that inward man is going to be renewed and be just the same and just as new as it was on the day of death as it was on the day that He breathed that life into you, and it's going to live forevermore. That old man, I'm going to tell you this. You were thinking about Romans 6. I had a mind to preach about this week, but I haven't. And I tell you, but I'm going to tell you about it. It has the old man is a lame duck. Y'all know what a lame duck is, don't you?
Yeah.
It's a president that has been voted out and he's just serving his term throughout the finish, but he's rendered useless.
Yeah.
And powerless. Well, not powerless, but he still holds the office, but he's on his way out. And I'm telling you what, that's the old man. That's this body. It's on a way out. Gravity will pull us down and finally suck us back down to the ground in which we came, from which we came. I'm telling you, but that new man, he's going to live forevermore.
Amen.
You know, when we go to funerals, and I remember, where Laura's here, and you might not know this, from the time that I was 13 when Daddy died, and they pulled us, Mama took us all up there to the casket, held that cold, lifeless hand, looked in those cold, lifeless eyes. I knew that ain't my daddy. That's the body my daddy lived in, but he ain't here no more. He ain't in there no more. He's gone. I knew that at 13. Nobody told that to me. I'm sure I heard it in the preaching or something, but God told me that. I'm telling you, gravity sucked him back down. But the power of God raised him up.
That's right.
I tell you what, it's that. I tell you what, if that don't get you happy, if that don't keep you from being destroyed, if that don't keep you from being in despair, I don't know what will.
Amen.
I don't know what will. And you know, when we were in Africa and we preached to them about the power of God and His ability to save and raise those of their ancestors that never heard the gospel, you talk about happy.
Yes, sir.
They got happy. Because you know what? All the preachers that they had heard before said, the excellency of the power is of you and not of God. You hear that? That's what they told them all down through the years. They told them it's all up to you, and then your poor old ancestors is dead because they didn't hear the gospel. And if they did hear it and didn't do whatever they were supposed to be doing, they hellbound. I'll tell you what, they don't believe in the excellency of the power of God.
That's right.
And they don't believe in the power of Jesus in being raised again, do they? Now, Paul says, for which cause we faint not. If you want to get some encouragement, I would encourage you to read Paul's letter to Timothy. When Paul told him so many things as a young minister. And I want you to read it. I've read this a couple different ways. I'm not going to go to Timothy tonight. But I want you to think about this. I had always, as a young man, always read that letter from Paul's perspective writing it. Until I looked at it as a young minister from Timothy's perspective as a young minister receiving it.
Yes.
That'll give you a whole different perspective on it. I tell you, and Paul went through those foundational principles with Timothy. And I tell you, you talk about foundations for the faint. That's what Paul was doing. He says, we faint not. What's going to keep you from fainting? If it's not a foundational principle of God, you'll faint.
Yes.
But if you build that house and dig deep now, you build that house upon a rock, storms will blow. The wind will blow. Waves will crash. But your house will still stand Because it's founded upon a rock.
Right.
Paul says, for our light affliction, oh, he says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, that amazes me, which is but for a moment, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How does it do that? The more we're persecuted here, the bigger mansion we're going to get in heaven?
No.
Is that what he's talking about? No. Paul said it a different way in Romans. You know, the most joyful and expectant people that I've ever seen that couldn't wait to see Jesus have been the most troubled people in this world. Y'all see? They were waiting for that. That was a far more way to eternal way to glory that they were looking for. Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I'll tell you what, if you've got an easy life, if you've got no problems, no distress, no perplexity, this world is real good to you. How much would you be waiting on seeing the Lord? That's what Paul's talking about. But he calls them light afflictions. Which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How in the world do you look at something that ain't seen? But he said we do. I love to see y'all. I'm looking at y'all. I'm seeing something far greater.
Yeah.
I'm seeing faces that I'm going to see in glory. That's what Paul's talking about. We're not looking at stuff right now. Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he go back in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, son, I'm just going to be real. Jesus said, son, how in the world can you understand spiritual things if you can't even understand natural things? He said, that ain't what I'm talking about. Jesus was talking way higher than that.
Right.
He did that kind of teaching to the apostles all the time when he talked to them about leaven. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. They said, oh, it's because we didn't bring any bread. Those men were thick-headed, just like me. Just like me. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That means they're temporary. They have an end. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, set your affections on things above and not on the earth. Because it's all going to be burnt up. Y'all think about this. The Bible's pretty plain when it says that the Lord's going to come. Trumpet blow, the shout. He's going to fold up the heavens as a vesture, like a cloth or a shirt. How in the world is God going to fold up air? But he's going to do it. Talk about an amazing thing to see. You'll see it. I believe we'll see it. Folding up air. He's a big God. And there's a lot of air. But he made it and he can fold it up. That's amazing, isn't it? Always remember, keep this as a foundation. In the beginning, God. If you can't remember nothing else, remember that. And remember that the excellency of the power is of Him and not of us. And it'll be your true north.
Amen.
Y'all ever seen Pirates of the Caribbean? With that Disney put on? I tell you what. What did Captain Jack have? He had a broken compass, right? And what was wrong with his compass? It pointed to the thing that he most desired at that moment. That's the world's compass.
Yes.
That's the world's compass. It might point to something different every day. That's not the kind of compass that we ought to have.
Amen.
We ought to have the compass that points in one direction, and you always have a reference point of true north. I tell you what, this Bible tells all about Him. True north. It'll keep you from reeling to and fro and staggering like a drunken man. It'll keep you on the right track. And it'll always point to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Because we ought to always be looking to Him. Looking for and hasting unto His day. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I tell you what, there's so many things. I tell folks all the time, me and my preacher friends, I say, you know, you can't talk about one thing without talking about something else. Because really, I describe it like this. All these wonderful doctrines that we've all heard and love, and things in the Scriptures, they're not compartmentalized. They touch every other one. And it's like a spider web. You ever run into a spider web? You pull one little piece and the whole thing moves a little bit. All the principles in God are founded in His sovereignty and His power. May God bless you is my prayer.